Hello, everybody, and a very warm welcome to the latest episode of Flat Out. No Joey Labour this week, but we still have Jack Nicol, and therefore more than enough brains to get us through Royal Ascot anti-post tips. We're covering those in just a few moments' time. First up, though, a thank you for watching our last video. We really nearly reached 10,000 views, which is quite something. And thanks very much indeed, too, for your ongoing support with the likes and comments. Do keep them coming, because not only is it great for interaction, it keeps us all curious as to what you think as well. Also, thanks to Opulence Thoroughbreds for their continued support and their support of this podcast. Jack, how are you, my friend?
Very, very good, Tom. Yeah, you're too kind in your introduction there, but it's been a good week. Little disappointed with the result at Epsom there. You did very well yourself with the Frankie double, Soul Sister and Emily Upjohn. The latter was so impressive, wasn't she? Shame for Frankie, he couldn't bow out in the big one, but he did get his winner on the Saturday as well. You know, this fairy tale story keeps going for him. Military order for myself. Yeah, I think he's still running, isn't he? It was a little disappointing. Obviously, Appleby horses aren't in great form. Ancient Times in the Dash. Is his stall even opened yet? That was just an absolute farce as well. There's been some defending it. It was just a disgrace all around. Where's the integrity when you can't have a level playing field with the stalls breaking at the same time? We'll move on swiftly from that. This isn't what this episode's all about. It's Royal Ascot. Really looking forward to it. For me, it's the best week of the year. I don't care about Cheltenham in comparison. It is all about Royal Ascot. Can't wait.
Yeah, I can't wait either. I love that. Very strong. And a very strong against Cheltenham. I'm sure a lot of people would disagree. Yeah, we've got plenty to talk about, plenty of races to get through. We're going to start by looking at the opening race on the Tuesday. And yeah, I was thinking earlier, do I prefer the Tuesday at Royal Ascot or the Tuesday at the Cheltenham Festival? Because both are cracking. Both have got top-level races in abundance. And I think there's not much between them, to be perfectly honest. But the Queen Anne this year looks like a good race. I wouldn't say it's a vintage renewal by any stretch of the imagination. And very much to my chagrin, I'm very disappointed that Maljum has been ruled out by William Haggis. I have to say he was the horse I was looking forward to seeing most this entire season. And who knows when or even if we will see him, because it's starting to become a bit of a catalogue of injuries, isn't it, for poor old Maljum. Not seen him since the St. James's Palace, where he flew home for fourth last year. And whether or not it's just going to be one of those horses, you know, that just keeps on finding something slightly amiss that keeps him out. Hopefully it won't be the case, but he is not lining up in the Queen Anne. We have, though, got Modern Games, who, of course, won the Lockinge in Spiral. John and Thady Gosden coming back from a long layoff. And Erevan, the French contender for Jean-Claude Rouget. And plenty of others as well, including Chindit, who, of course, ran so well in that Lockinge stakes behind Modern Games. I said it's not a vintage renewal this year, Jack. Would you agree with that sentiment?
Oh, wholeheartedly, yeah. It looks a really weak renewal. In Spiral, first time up, there's a question mark on her. Erevan, he wouldn't probably lie up with the likes of recent winners. Certainly last year with Baid. To be honest, I think it'll be a good start for favourite backers. I can't see really past Modern Games if you're keeping it simple, especially if it's a hard deck early on. Fast ground is what you want. It did dry up just in time from at the Lockinge. There would obviously be that worry about the Appleby form. So for me, it's certainly one, I don't know, I do think Modern Games should win, but it's probably one that I might just sit and watch, maybe see what happens on the day. I do like Cash. He's a quirky old horse. I know you have a bit of history with him as well, as we do in our household. It's a bit of crack between us there. But yeah, he's probably not good enough as well. And I just think it's probably a race. See how the decks come out. I think it's a race that could just cut up, and yeah, a little bit disappointing, Tom.
Yeah, a little bit disappointing. I agree with you on Cash. I think dropping back to a mile is really going to help him. I don't think he stayed a mile and a quarter at Sandown last time, and that was a really good race. I mean, he's going up to Group 1 company, but they were Group 1 horses in that contest. Sure. And dropping back to a mile will definitely help him. If I was going to throw one out at a slightly bigger price, it would probably be Chindit. I think it could easily be a 1-2 once again, as it was in the Lockinge between those two, because he seems to have returned just a really solid horse this year. And Richard Hannan did say before the season even began that as a 5-year-old, he's really started to fill into his frame, maybe taken a little bit longer than some others at the top level. But I think that is definitely being shown in his performances so far this season. I think he is a progressive and improved miler, so I can see him running well. And of course, he runs Ascot really well too, which is a big help as well. Okay, cool. Let's move on then to the second Group One of the festival, and that is the King's Stand Stakes. What are your thoughts on this, Jack? It's a competitive looking race. Highfield Princess at the top of the markets, and we've got some interesting contenders in there, including Big Invasion and Koolangatta. Not entirely sure who is definitely going to run here. Cannonball's also been entered. Dramatize is almost certainly going to run. She was a really good winner of the Temple Stakes last time at Haydock. And then some bigger prices, interesting horses like Manakan and Marshman, Royal Acclaim, et cetera, et cetera. Quite difficult to make head nor tail of what is going to run at this stage, Jack, but what would your thoughts be at this moment?
It does look quite an open renewal at this time. I do think that Highfield Princess could be the one that comes for a lot of support. Obviously, she's a previous Royal Ascot winner, but first time up at York, she ran a great race there under a penalty. And I think she'll be cherry ripe for this now. And I think she's just an absolute speedball. The stiff 5 furlongs, obviously she does stay six as well. It just could be tailor-made for her, to be honest. I know there's big targets along the line, and the Nunthorpe will be the one that really want to win, but I think at the moment she's around 3-1, 130. I think she could really go off shorter than 2-1 if the support obviously does come for her. And Dramatize, I wouldn't be sure that she'd back up the Temple Run. There was obviously that big, the Golden Highway up on this near rail, a stiff 5 furlong. I wouldn't be sure that, obviously, she didn't stay in the Breeders' Cup, and this stiff 5 furlong might just draw out those stamina concerns a bit more. Looking a bit further down the line, I think Manakin could be the one for the each way back, as he's a dual winner at Ascot. He ran a great race there in the Palace House at Newmarket in his prep. So from the bigger prices, looking at them, as you say, that it's hard to know what still runs, but I'd be absolutely certain he's going to run bar an injury or a setback. And I think a 12-1, it has been shortened a little bit over the last month. I think price-wise, mentioned him as well. But yeah, come back to it. I think if you press me now, I don't have a bet per se, but I think Highfield Princess is the likeliest winner. I think probably there is still a little juice in the price, though, of Manakin for each way backers.
Okay, nicely done. Yeah, I think Highfield Princess is as solid as a calm, really, isn't she? And she'll be very hard to beat. If I'm going to put one forward, it would have to be at a bigger price, Royal Acclaim, at around about 20-1, because even though she was disappointing last time in the Temple, she is the kind of filly that I think will need a run first time out. She's quite fresh. She's quite keen in her races, and she's the sort that needs to be delivered at exactly the right time. Those kind of fillies and colts and whatever can always need their first run. And I wouldn't be giving up on her just yet. James Tate thinks the world of this horse. And if you rewind just 4 starts ago, she was mightily impressive in listed company at York. A little bit disappointing. But remember, she was sent off 5-2 favourite for the Nunthorpe back in August last year. And I'm sure she has still got more to come as a 4-year-old. So with that run under her belt, I can see her travelling really nicely, getting a lovely toe into the race and using that wonderful turn of foot that she showed last year. So hopefully she can run a big race. And I think she is overpriced at around about 20-1 if coming back to somewhere near that form, which I think she probably will do. Whether or not it's going to be at Ascot at some point this season, I think she will. But hopefully it will be at Royal Ascot. Let's move on to some of the 2-year-old races then. And we're going to combine the Coventry, the Norfolk and the Windsor Castle, because some of these horses have got similar entries. Jack, I mean, at the moment, you know, it's difficult to say which of these 2-year-olds is going to be above the rest. It's always a similar story, isn't it, this time of year, because so many of these contenders have done similar things, winning quite well on their debuts or on their second starts. But at this stage, of those three races and in those three races, is there anything that's really taken your eye?
Yeah, very much so. I think probably best just to start with Coventry. Obviously, the standout, probably juveniles other than Elite Status, who we'll get to later. But Asadna and River Tiber, I think that's where you should be looking for the Coventry. I know it's not very original, but the impression that both created, particularly Asadna at Ripon. I mean, he's a breeze-up horse. So obviously, he's probably got that benefit of that prep and being able to produce such a debut performance. But I'm really excited to see in that clash. There is a horse further down who is entered in the Coventry. I'm not sure where he goes yet. Personally, I'd be running there, but it was interesting. Mark Johnson, obviously, this is Barnwell boy I'm talking about. He was so impressive at Goodwood on debut. He was 0.43 seconds outside of the track record. which on debut was just an astonishing performance. This was on ground slower than Royal Scotsman, who did that when on his fourth start. So just tells you how well he ran. He shifted to his left, and problem now is working out where he's going to run. He could run in the Norfolk. Quite possibly it could be the Windsor Castle. The problem is there's only one bookmaker currently priced for that, and that's Unibet. He opened up a 14-1 today, and he's now 8-1, which suggests that could be the way they're heading. He's certainly the two-year-old I really like, and I will be backing him. Unfortunately, he could well be going off favourite for the Windsor Castle. It's going to be obviously a lot easier to win than the Coventry and even the Norfolk. But yeah, certainly Barnwell Boy's a horse for your tracker. Wherever he goes, I'll be supporting him. Price dependent, of course. But yeah, he's the one. And then coming back to the Coventry, as I say, just River Tiber and Sadna. I'm really looking forward to that. Any thoughts for you, Tom?
Oh, yeah, plenty. I think Asadna was ridiculous, wasn't he, on debut? I mean, what a fire-powered fireworks performance that was. Quite something to behold. Now, horses can often do that and then slightly disappoint next time, or, you know, maybe the race wasn't that strong. He was made to look better than he actually is, but there's no doubting how impressive that was. Mm. And we all know what George Bowie can do with his two-year-olds. River Tiber, definitely one of the form players. You've mentioned him, so I'm going to give a couple of more. And both come in the Amo Racing silks. Bucanero Fuerte, who won very easily on debut. I was very impressed with that. And I think he's going to come on for that. And probably because he's trained by Adrian Murray, wouldn't necessarily be the most fashionable of horses coming into the race. And the other one is Maximum Impact. I spoke to Alice Haynes a couple of weeks ago about this horse, and she had a little twinkle in her eye. She was thinking to herself, I think, you know, this could be a Royal Ascot winner for me. Whether or not it's 5 furlongs or 6 furlongs, she said he's very versatile. It almost just depends on what the ground is going to be doing on the week. But wherever he does go, he's going to be tough to beat. I think he's got a lot of gears. And I love the way that he won last time, beating a pretty smart horse of Archie Watson. So I keep an eye on both those. And I'm going to move on to the Norfolk as well, because that's the horse I'm looking forward to seeing most, actually, all week. And that is Elite Status. Because I was at Sandown for the Brigadier Gerard meeting, and I saw him up close, absolutely demolishing his rivals in the National Stakes. And you've got to really see it to believe it. I'm so glad we have, in this modern day, replays that we can go back and look upon, because if you watch that and watch it over and over again, you will not fail to be astonished by the way that not only did he quicken to go past rivals, but then in the final half furlong, he quickens again. And horses that can do that have 2 turn of foots in races are very rare, which I think suggests to me that he is going to be extremely difficult to beat in that Norfolk Stakes. He is a very short price favourite, but I think you wouldn't be a backer, you'd just be a watcher, because hopefully he'll do something similar to what he did at Sandown last time. And I think Ascot will really suit him as well. The other horse, actually the horse that he reminds me of, this is going to sound a little bit ridiculous, is Pantra Celebra, who won the Arc about 25 years ago. But if you watch that back on the old replays on YouTube, he quickens 2 or 3 times to win the race. And I was watching Elite Status, I know it's over completely different trips, but that turn of foot really did remind me of Pantra Celebra, which, to be honest, Jack, is the highest praise I can possibly offer.
No, very interesting. It's funny you should say that. The most impressive performance I've ever seen live was Lady Aurelia's King Stand, who obviously is the dam of American Rascal, who's going to take him on. So a nice little follow-on there. And obviously he was so impressive. I mean, all these Wesley Ward horses, he comes with 4 or 5 every year. The hype around this one's the usual. But I'm really excited to see him. Who knows? Obviously, he could just be going to the furlong pole. I'm sure you'll be hoping. And then he'll just give a nice toe to Elite Status, who can go on from there. I would like to give a quick mention to Devious of, I think Donica trains it, not Joseph. He was really impressive at Nace. I remember reading an article the next day. They were thinking it was a Coventry horse, but he's shown such brazen speed that they're thinking probably just stick at 5 for now. And I thought that was quite interesting. If you're thinking you've already got a Coventry horse, obviously you hold the horse in the highest regard, and he's already backed that up. I don't think the form of the race had really worked out. I don't think it's been tested much, but there hasn't been any winners of such, but the manner in which he won obviously suggests he's obviously above average. So I think a double figure price around 12-1, he could be interested.
Yeah, I really liked the way he won that day. I thought it was really, really eye-catching. And it was almost hats and seals stuff. Really. I think they knew he was going to win because he was sent off a short price favourite. And I loved his galloping long stride as well. So he's definitely worth keeping an eye on. I heartily agree with that. Just finally on those two-year-old races, American Rascal, how good do you think he could be? Are you in the same camp as me that you think Elite Status might just pick him up later on?
Quite possibly, yeah. We've seen over time now that obviously Wesley comes over and he talks him up. This is the best one I've had. This one's the best one I've had. And I must admit, I've not heard him say that yet. Who knows? This time yet, of course. But look, he created a good impression, won easy enough. And it's just that angle for Lady O'Reilly. Obviously, all the UK fans love her. She came back and did it twice. The two-year-old performance was so impressive as well. But I just remember watching, I was down, I've never watched a race at Ascot at the Furlong Pole, and just remember her quickening and then booting away clear the likes of Marsha and really good horses in behind her. And that was genuinely one of the best performances I've ever seen live. I mean, off the top of my head, Frankel at the Judmont, that's in there, and that was better than that for me. Funnily enough, Time Test, when he won the Jewel Stakes, would be another race. I remember watching, thinking, bloody hell. And unfortunately, he never won a Group 1, but I'm certain he was a Group 1 animal, so it's been nice to see him having winners as a stallion since.
Yeah, and of course, Time Test standing at the National Stud now. Lucky enough to see him quite recently, looking resplendent in his slightly older age. Good stuff, Jack. Let's move on to the St. James's Palace, Group 1 over a mile for three-year-old colts. And at the top of the market, we have Chaldean, who, of course, won the 2,000 guineas in this country. In Ireland, the 2,000 guineas was won by Paddington. Those two at the top of the market. The horse that I like most is third in, Cicero's Gift. Apart from Elite Status, he'd be the horse I'm looking forward to seeing most at Royal Ascot. And then we've got Mustabshi. He was so impressive at York last time. That form has been franked, with the second going in very easily at Leicester last week. And further down, you've got Indestructible, who, of course, won the Craven Stakes. And then a few more. Isaac Shelby, Royal Scotsman. A couple he might not run. But at the top of the market, we can be pretty sure that Chaldean, Paddington, Cicero's Gifts, Mustabshi are all going to take part. Mustabshi, a potential for a handicap, but certainly the front three will, I think. And of those three, Jack, who would you be most keen on?
Yeah, I can't really see past Chaldean again here, Tom. Obviously, personal investment, having followed him in at the Guineas, and with that performance, I just think he is the best three-year-old colt in training. One horse I'm a little disappointed who's not running, who he was going to go for the Irish Guineas setback there. He's not going to run now here either. He's going to go at the Curragh. That's Al Riffa. I think he's really potentially a real top-class horse. So he'll be a miss to the meeting. Paddington was impressive enough, obviously, in his absence. I'm not sure he's good enough to beat Chaldean. I'd be taking him on. And look, Chaldean's short enough as well. Cicero's Gift, I must admit, I don't really rate his form. I'm not a fan of the horse. I think he's been beaten in fury opposition. Sorry, Tom, but
look, it's an opinions game, mate. It's opinions.
Of course,
game.
Yeah, of course. And look, I just think Chaldean is just a class above. Yeah, really. I think it's a race that could cut up, and yeah, look, Chaldean, simple as that. I think.
Would you be concerned, let's give you a scenario, say at the moment the ground is absolutely rattling everywhere, would you be concerned if it came up good to firm at Ascot on that first day, would you be a little bit concerned that perhaps he might be slightly more vulnerable to, say, a Paddington? Because his best form, I think it's fair to say, has come on softer ground. I mean, he's won on good ground, but his Group 1 winning form has been on soft.
Yeah. Not really, no. I think certainly on the first day there, they're not going to have it proper rattling. They're going to water it to some degree. It's going to be probably on the faster side of good to firm in places. One also I do want to mention there, which I'd completely forgotten and shouldn't have, but that is Mustabshi. He could well run. I think, as I say there, the race could cut up, so it might just twist their arm, but they are obviously considering the Jersey Stakes, which I think is probably the likeliest destination at the moment. But there's the Britannia as well. Surely he goes for the group race. And as I say, if it cuts up quite a bit, then that could be a race. I would rate him. Obviously, the second and fourth, as you mentioned, have come out and won since. So the form is working out quite nicely. But I'm not worried about the ground for Chaldean. I just think he's a cut above.
Yeah, Zuryab, who was second, absolutely hosed in at Leicester. And then new business at Kempton was as impressive. So that form looks really strong, to be fair. Yeah, I'm just going to give a mention to Cicero's Gift because He's a horse who took my eye last season, and he's only had one start so far this season for Charlie Hills, and he absolutely pulverized them at Goodwood. And Kolsai, who didn't get a clear run at the most important stage of the race, to be fair, was back in second, beaten 5.5 lengths, but no chance he would have got near Cicero's Gift, who once he was let down, was just turbocharged to the line. So for me, he has got to obviously find a bit to mix it on ratings with the top at two in the market. But I think there's a huge amount of potential there. And he's really exciting for me. And I think Rattling Ground is exactly what he wants. So for me, Cicero's Gift is very much a proper contender in there. I hope he starts off around 4-1, 9-2. I think maybe even fives. I think the front two will solidify in the market come the day because they have that form, because they're Judmont, Aidan O'Brien. And Cicero's Gift may just creep under the radar a touch, given that he might not be, you know, the most fashionable owners. And Charlie Hills, you know, he's had some very good horses in recent history, but not to the extent that Andrew Balding and Aidan O'Brien have. So possibly he might get about a 5-1 on the day, but he'd be my pick in the race, I think. Whatever happens, though, looks like a really good one this year. Let's move on then to the Queen Mary, which is the 2-year-old fillies race, Jack. And we saw a pretty impressive victory earlier this week, actually, time of recording at Nottingham from Beautiful Diamond, who bolted up really on her debut. But Born to Rock was very impressive herself for Jane Chappell-Heim. And then further down, Classic Flower, Got to Love a Grey, and plenty of others too. Relief Rally in there as well. And I think that brings us nicely onto your fancy.
Yes, Relief Rally. You know, the William Haggis first two-year-old of the season angle that I love to bang on about. She was so impressive at Windsor, winning under hands and heels. And she's followed that up with an even more impressive performance, winning at Salisbury and beating a decent yardstick in Juniper Berries. And I remember when I worked at some of the lodge, William was always really keen to get a bit of experience at two or three runs into his two-year-olds that went to Ascot. And she was entered up in the Hillary Needler at Beverley. She's not running, so I suspect now she does go straight to the Queen Mary. But look, it's by no means a strong selection, but at 12-1, I think, look, she's clearly above average. She's surely enough leading the way at some of the lodge. And I don't think she's done anything wrong. As I say, it's a tenth of a selection. There's going to be 20 runners. Hopefully she gets a high enough draw. That's always a key point to mention on the straight track. Obviously, that changes as the season goes on at the back end. You want to be on the far side, but it's very much the high numbers you want. So I'm playing steady enough each way at the moment, but I may well press up on the day if it looks like the pace is around her and she gets a good draw and a high number.
I think she's got a huge chance. I think that victory at Salisbury was a really good one because they fancied that Juniper Berries off the boards, didn't they? I think she's really quick. And Relief Rally looked like she might just be a little bit tap for toe, about 2 furlongs out, but that's fine because the race was happening in the final furlong. And that's when her stamina and her speed really kicked in. So I'd agree with you on that. I think she's got a big chance. Beautiful Diamond, I thought, was hugely impressive at Nottingham. And I think it'll take a good one to beat her, I have to say. And she knew her job and she careered away in the final few yards, 100 yards. So I think she'll be very hard to beat. One thing I would say about Born to Rock is, actually, she is the current anti-post favourite, is Born to Rock for Jane Chappell-Heim. But a word of warning, the form of that race is working out really poorly so far. The second, third and fourth from that contest have all been beaten really, really badly since. So I'd take it with a pinch of salt. She won by 4 lengths, admittedly, very easily. But what did she beat? That would be the question mark I would have against her. And I think she's going to go into the Queen Mary with that form question mark against her. Jane Chappell-Heim, interestingly enough, and I was kicking myself because I spoke to Jane after she had a winner at Newmarket about 3 weeks ago in another 2-year-old race. And the name of the horse is completely forgotten, but it was from the same ownership. And she said to me, actually, and the interview after, I said, oh, that was a good performance, isn't it? And Jane said to me, well, you thought that was good. Well, wait for the horse at Yarmouth, Born to Rock. So there you go. She obviously likes it. But I just have a little bit of question mark about that for. Cool. Let's move on to the Duke of Cambridge, Jack. And I know you've got a pretty strong fancy in this race. And it's always, I think it's always one of my favourite contests, probably. I don't know why. It just always seems to have a good finish. And it always seems to be pretty competitive. And arguably, it features all those fillies who don't want to run against the guys in the Queen Anne. And often you get a really good race as a result. And I think we're probably going to have that this year. Above the Curve in there. Inspiral probably goes to the Queen Anne, so she probably won't run. But Laurel having disappointed a touch in the lock hinge, but more than likely, I think, to bounce back. Just Beautiful, Jumbly, et cetera, et cetera. What do you think of the race, Jack?
Yeah, that's a really good point there about how you get these horses that probably dodging over targets, and Laurel would be a great case in point for that. I do wonder whether Above the Curve, would she drop to a mile? I'd put a question mark next to her name. Certainly in Spiral, Above the Queen Anne. Prosperous Voyage, who won there at Epsom. Would she come here and run so soon and under a penalty? I'm not sure as well. So there is a few there at the top of the market that could well come out. But yeah, there's plenty there that's still at the top end. And my best anti-post at the moment, it would be Jumbly. I was so impressed with her return. She didn't win, of course, but she was second. And I just think this is going to put her cherry ripe for this. This has probably been the target from the start of the year. She switched into Joseph O'Brien's care. I think that's a trainer upgrade. But just coming back to that performance the last day, she was so keen early on. It was her first run of the season. Ryan Moore just couldn't drop his hands early on. She exerted so much energy early on. And Just Beautiful just got the running on her. And I think Ryan realised that soon enough. And he gave her a nice, easy run. And I think the connections will be delighted with that, with a view to come in here. And unfortunately, I put her up at 10 to 1 in my Racing TV article there last week. And unfortunately, yesterday, price-wise, has kind of killed the price a little bit. She's into around 6 to 1. I think there's still a little bit of juice in that price, certainly for those who want to go each way. Unfortunately, the 10's not about anymore. But yeah, Jumbly, at this moment in time, she's my strongest anti-post bet. And I really, really fancy her for this.
Yeah, strong words there from Mr. Nickel on Jumbly. I'll put up a little one each way. Wouldn't be the strongest bet in the world, but I think she's got a good chance. Just Beautiful. Used to be, of course, with Ivan Furtado. Hasn't had too long with Paddy Toomey, but on the evidence of her last run, he seems to have found the key to her. And I think the better ground, the faster ground, really played to her strengths. She hasn't really had that so far for Paddy. And I think now that she did get that and she was switched back to front-running tactics, both of those little curiosities played to her strengths, and I think they really helped her improve her form and show something along the lines of what she used to show. And hopefully on rattling ground at Ascot, if it's going to be like that, she might be one of the pace angles. And the only slight concern I have about her is that she has got plenty of speed as well, so maybe that stiff mile on the straight mile might not play to her strengths so much. But I think she's looking back to her best, and I think she'll be there or thereabouts at a decent price. Right, that's the Duke of Cambridge. Now let's move on to the Prince of Wales Stakes, and a really mouth-watering contest in prospect here with Desert Crown, Baybridge, and of course Luxembourg as well. Could be a bit of a cracker, I think, certainly one of the races that I think everyone's going to be looking forward to most throughout the week. Jack, it's a really fascinating renewal, isn't it? Because Desert Crown has been a hefty old punt for him after a piece of work that he did apparently at St Michael's Stats that was very good, but I did hear mutterings that he did a pretty good piece of work before the Brigadier Gerard as well. And look what happened there. So I wouldn't be leaping to take that as law. What do you think about him and the race itself?
I think it's all a bit of an overreaction, to be honest, Tom. It's a good point you make there. I didn't know of that piece of work as well before Sandown. So when I first read that article last night, he was 4 to 1. He's now a best price 5 to 2. So it's a real overreaction to essentially catching pigeons. You've thrown out the form of Luxembourg and Baybridge. Adia, of course, he's a huge player in this as well. My Prospero as well. And this is the race of the meeting. I really can't wait for this. And if they all turn up, I do wonder if Baybridge will. I think if it's quick round, they might just skip it for him. Hope it comes up a bit softer in the Eclipse. But in terms of just answering your question there, Desert Crown, certainly the price now 5 to 1, I'd be taking him on. He was really disappointing to me at Sandown. I thought he had every chance to go and beat Hookham there. And fair enough, yet, look, he's had a lot of time off and he will come on for that. It was just a little bit flat for me, and I'm not sure I can forgive him for that so soon, certainly against this opposition. But my actual tip in this is My Prospero. Of course, William Haggis just wanted to scratch a niche there with running him over a mile. They did want to run him at Ascot when the yard form was under a cloud. He ended up running him in the lock hinge. He was staying on again at the line. It was clearly just not a trip of his best. Coming back up to 10, he'll be cherry ripe for this now. And I think on form, there's really not much between him. He almost passed Adyar at Ascot at the back end in the Champions Stakes last year. And he's 8 to 1 and Adyar's half that price. So that does not make sense to me. My Prospero is arguably as talented as any of these. And look, for me, value-wise, 8-1, that's a great bet for me each way. And other than Jumbly, he'd be closely followed in behind. And as I say, he's had a trouble-free prep route. He'll come on bundles for Newbury. And certainly at the prices now, I think he offers a good bit of value.
Yeah, really interesting stuff there, Jack, actually. I wouldn't have a huge view on the race from a betting perspective. What I did enjoy seeing was Luxembourg very much back to his best last time in the Tattersalls Gold Cup. And I do think that was a very good performance. And I have to say, I disagree with you. I think he probably would have won anyway. So I'd be looking at him as the most likely winner in the race, because I think Desert Crown has a little bit to prove now. I mean, let's not forget, in the Brigadier Gerard, he was beaten by Hukum. Now, Hukum is a very, very good horse in his own right, but so far, he's a better horse over further. Over a mile and a quarter, you wouldn't necessarily think, oh, Hukum's the one to beat, you know? So I'd have a few question marks against Desert Crown. Don't get me wrong, I want to see him bounce back to his best, because I loved him last year. Sure. I thought he was a breath of fresh air. The way he won the Derby, I mean, when was the last time you saw a winner that impressive in the Derby? It just doesn't happen. So, you know, it would be great to see him performing to something akin to that level, but whether he will or not is up for debate. And I think the one with the form that comes into the race is Luxembourg. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if Ryan Moore just tries to go from the front and ride them all to sleep, because I think that's almost what he did at the Curragh. And this is a horse that stayed the trip really well. So he'd be my pick in the race, but I wouldn't be massively strong. I think it's a race to watch. That's the Prince of Wales. Let's move on to the Gold Cup on the Thursday. Now, Jack, I know you've got a vested interest in this, but to be fair, he'd have a pretty strong each-way chance, would Wise Eagle?
Well, I'm probably being a bit more pessimistic the closer we're getting to the race. But look, by all means at the moment, obviously I live in London. I'm back home at the moment. But no news is good news in terms of anything with Wise Eagle. We're just kind of tiptoeing the race. There's obviously been a bit of media here this week. And no, this is great. Look, it's a dream. Look, it's that little bit of hope that you have, that you I go to bed at night dreaming that, you know, we could actually win a Gold Cup. We've got a, whatever anyone says, we have a chance of winning this race. So look, on, we've got a bit to do with Coltrane. He's more than entitled to come on for his run. He's fairly enough easily beat us the last day, but there's enough to glean from that race that we think we can get a bit closer to him, a stronger pace for one. Danny, who's probably harsh on himself, thought he could have held on to him longer. So it'll be a different dynamic, obviously, in the Gold Cup. There'll be more runners. It should be a better pace. Obviously, it's over a different trip as well. So no Kyprios, no Trushan, obviously, if it's better ground. So look, it's not going to be as good a race to win in past years, but look, the dream is still alive as we speak anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's got a good each-way chance, I won't lie. But I do think the horse that beat him at Ascot in the Sagara Stakes is probably going to win the race again. That was Coltrane. And looking at the contest itself, I was looking at it in a fair bit of detail actually earlier today, and I don't think it's very strong. I think you can pick holes in a lot of the form. Emily Dickinson is up there. Eldarov was beaten by Giovelotto last time. For me, that is not Ascot Gold Cup winning form. And Coltrane was mightily impressive, wasn't he, last time? So I think for me, he has got them all at it. I think 3-1 is quite a big price, to be perfectly honest. I think he should be shorter. I think he will be shorter. I think he could easily end up being 7-4, 6-4 on the day, because just because of those in behind in the market have got a bit to prove, whereas he just doesn't. Would you agree with that about Coltrane?
No, I fully agree with you, Tom, there. I think Coltrane is fully justifies his place at the head of the market. I can't believe how close Eldarov is. Obviously, his line of form with the St. Ledger brings in Emily Dickinson, Haskoy, and El Habib, who obviously we finished ahead of in the Sagara Stakes. So that does give us positives in the Wise Eagle camp. And that line of form, there isn't really a standout. I do think Haskoy could be the one who improves the most. There's a bit of stamina there on the closer you look at her pedigree. And I think she could be the one out of those Ledger horses. But Coltrane, look, he's... it's hard to really pick holes. And the one kind of niggle, I think probably if anyone backed him sort of in the Chester Cup last year, F95, when you got him beat there. But he is just a different animal now. He's really, really improved. And I think he is the rightful favourite probably. So I have no problems with that as a Wise Eagle man. Certainly haven't finished second to him last time out.
Good to hear. Lovely stuff. That's the Gold Cup. Let's move on to the Commonwealth Cup, which is obviously the three-year-old sprinters all going at it, hammer and tongs. Little Big Bear, very impressive in the Sandy Lane last time. Sarkier, so emphatic in the Mill Reef last year before. Disappointing a touch in the Guineas, or I actually think he ran quite well over a mile in soft ground. Then the improver, the progressive horse, Shaquille. And then further down to Noble Style, who was a little bit disappointed in the Carnarvon Stakes, wasn't he? And a few others too. Jack, where are you headed in this? You think Little Big Bear's the one to beat?
No, I fully agree with you, Tom, there about Little Big Bear. He certainly, after that victory there at Haydock, he deserves his place after that Guineas flop. Obviously, we've seen that it could well have just been the travel disruption that Aidan O'Brien had. Auguste Rodin's obviously came and won the Derby, of course. So I think you can probably put a run through the Guineas. He probably didn't stay as well at the same time. He just looks an absolute sprinter. At the price 15-8, he probably will go off around evens, maybe a shade of odds on as we get closer. I do know the lad, Ben, who rides Sakia. I wouldn't say I'm close with him now, but he gave a positive update when I inquired a few weeks ago. He's around the 5-6-1 mark. As you say there, you didn't think he ran a bad race. I thought you ran a great race in the Guineas. Obviously, you've got to try these horses. Look, go and try and win a Guineas. But we kind of always thought that he was a sprinter as well. And no, I'm around 5-1. He's probably one of those that I'm going to wait to the day. I would stop short of having a bet, but at the moment, he'd be the one I'm thinking of. The vibes are good. Obviously, I haven't spoke to Ben, who I used to work with at Haggis's. But Lazoo as well is one that I think has sort of flown under the radar. She's around 12-1. And I think certainly Group 1 winner, course and distance winner, Rafe Beckett, I saw there on the TV. Yeah, he gave a positive update just the other day as well. So the vibes are good about her. I think it's a race that could kind of cut up again. So certainly a 12-1. If someone was looking for a bigger price, I wouldn't put anyone off that. So those would certainly be the three I'm thinking of at the moment. And if pressed for a bet, I suppose I would say Sakia each way. I think. Can't see him out the three, of course.
Yeah, I think Sakia's got a huge chance in that race, to be honest. The one I'm going to put up each way is Cold Case. He's quite a big price. And Carl Burke has said that he thinks there's a Group 1 win in this horse at some stage. He was disappointing, wasn't he, last time behind Little Big Bear? But the trainer did say afterwards that he thought the ground was too quick for him. Now, if there's a little bit of juice anywhere in the ground at Royal Ascot Week, I think Cold Case is definitely worth an each way. He was a pretty impressive winner of the trial, I thought, I have to say, staying on really strongly to the line at Ascot back in May. And if he performs to that level, then I think he'll be there or thereabouts. So with a little bit of rain, if there is any, I'd be keen on giving Cold Case a chance each way. Moving on to the Queen Elizabeth II Jubilee Stakes, Group 1 on the Saturday, over 6 furlongs, and a really open betting heat at the moment. Artorias, Art Power, Sacred, Wellington, Kinross, Rohan, Alsu Hale, interestingly, further down the list, Sondrine, The Astrologist, and then a few others. Jack, at this point, I mean, I haven't got I'll tell you what, the only race really that I've looked at, I haven't really got any kind of singular view on whatsoever. I think it's a really hard race to work out, but I know you've got a couple of fancies.
Yeah, I think I've got a decent hold on this race. Again, I say the My Prospero and Jumbly would be the standouts, but at the same time, I think Sacred is, well, she's a cliff horse of mine, so I'm probably speaking through rose-tinted glasses, but she was fifth in this race last year. She didn't get the clearest of runs. I was devastated she didn't run in the Lockinge. I think that was probably the race for her. With the concerns about the rain that week, it was probably justified in going to Lingfield. But I have no doubts that she is a Group 1 horse. And this probably is her best chance for the rest of the season of winning one, unless the Foray came up good at Firm, which is not going to happen. Fast ground is a must. She must have that. So if there's any rain about, any soft in the description, you just put a line through it. But she's 14-1 at the moment. And I just can't understand that when you consider that Artorias is 5-1. He was third in the race last year. Fair enough, he didn't get a clear run either. But there was just a neck separating him and Sacred. I believe Sacred didn't have the cleanest of preparations last year. It was by design to run fresh, but by all means, I don't think she got the smoothest preparation. So we saw at Lingfield that she's in rare form at the moment, and Yeah, I think at 41, there's certain value there. I think she's going to go off single figures, probably less than half that price. I would have her around the six to one mark now. So that tells you the confidence I have in this filly. I just love her. I adore her. I will add in my angle certainly here as well is to add Alsa Hale to the reckoning. Now, his UK form is very much hot and cold, so there's an obvious warning to that. But just his winter campaign, he's obviously improved beyond all measure, really. And coming back to 6 furlongs, I think, is a really interesting angle. And obviously, you see what Naval Crown did last year. He'd done a similar kind of pattern to coming into this race. He dropped in trip, and his first ever try at the trip was in the Alcor sprint, finished just outside the places. But Alsa Hale did similar. He was third in that. It wasn't his first try at six. He'd been well beaten in the Benngoff at the back end at Ascot. But he's just really turned a corner recently, and I think he could be an interesting one. You're not going to get a Naval Crown price about him this year, unfortunately. He's 14-1. I think they've kind of identified that. But I think, again, there's certain juice in his price at that. And yeah, he's another that I think could probably go off single figures. Certainly, if the Appleby string do kind of return to form in the meantime again, that's something to monitor.
Okay, lovely. I'm a huge fan of Alsa Hale, always have been. A remarkable horse at his best. He's just got so many weird quirks. I mean, he's a horse who's got so much ability, but he just needs to be delivered every single time at the right time. And sometimes he's just not up for it. But if he is so good. So hopefully we'll see a day when he's performing at his best. Right, lastly, last race we're going to talk about in detail is the Wokingham. And as always, I mean, particularly at this time, a couple of weeks before, it's a bit of a minefield. But I'll tell you what, Jack, what I'll do first, I'll go through my selection.
Sure.
And it wouldn't be the strongest one at all of the ones that I put up so far on the pod. But I think Lethal Nymph has got a good chance each way. He's run twice at Ascot and has won both times. Last time he won at Ascot, it was particularly impressive. Earned a fairly hefty rise in the weights for that, but quite rightly too, because he was well clear of the rest. Not been quite as good since then. He's come down a pound in the weights for that. But I think back to Ascot in a big field, which he seems to relish, I think he's got a pretty decent each way chance around about 20 to 1. So he'd be my selection at the moment. What about you then?
Well, funnily enough, I've got a short list of 7 or 8 at the moment. But if I were to pick out 3, Lethal Nymph would absolutely be one of those. As you say, he's won at Ascot before. The run at Windsor is obviously just a prep, blew away the cobwebs to come here. No, he's very much on the radar at the moment. If there was a standout one, if you'd asked me this question last week, I would say Probe. Mm. Whether Epsom really suited him, I'm not sure. I know the ground certainly didn't, so fast ground would be a concern. But I if there's one horse I think is tailor-made that's entered there, is Probe. Obviously, he has to be ridden a certain way, and I just think that would be amplified better at Ascot. So you'd have to be willing to forgive Epsom. I'm happy enough to put it down at the ground. I would stop short of putting a bet up as well. There's another that I like who actually run today. We're recording on the Thursday, is Kanjar. He was slowly away at Hamilton. I think there's a possibility he could well go to the Buckingham Palace, so there's obviously a little bit of a question mark there as well. Although the stiff 6 furlongs at Ascot could just be tailor-made for him. He's well handicapped, I think. He just got going too late. And Hamilton, you come down and you come back up again, and you just got going too late. The winner was given a canny ride by Joe Fannin. So Kanjar is an interesting one for me. He was well thought of to go to the Air Gold Cup. He was well punted for that, and it would probably just come too soon in his career now. He's a bit more hardened and a bit more streetwise, and Haggis will surely have him right. As I say, though, the worry is that he might still go to the Buckingham Palace. So I think this is a race I'm just happy to kind of wait for the decks and see how this pans out. And earlier in the week, if there's any kind of jockey pointers being jocked up early, I think that's probably the time to strike. And obviously our episode that will come out probably in a few days before the Tuesday is probably when we could address that again. And I think for now it's best to keep the powder dry, and certainly in this race.
Yeah, that's a really good point about keeping the powder dry, because we are currently at entry stage, or at least some of the races have only got entries for. One we haven't got, well, we don't know who's exactly going to run in, is the Hampton Court. I think it's time for our any other business section.
Yeah.
And obviously we'll talk about some of these horses in more detail next week. But In the Hampton Court, there's one horse that I spoke to you about a little bit earlier on in the week between you and me, who I'm looking forward to seeing, and that is Torito, because so far I've been very impressed with what he's done. I thought he was particularly emphatic when winning last time out. George Strawbridge, by the way, is enjoying the most remarkable of seasons so far, and he's also got three wins to look forward to in the Hardwick. But I think Torito could be a proper group horse in the making, and I think the Hampton Court, Jack, is probably going to be his most likely destination.
I'd say so, yes. After that winner at Epsom, I can't imagine he'll go for a handicap now. I think he's up to around 105. I could be wrong there. Don't quote me on that. But yeah, certainly go for the Group 3. That looks the absolute logical race for him. Yeah, and I fully agree with that. He would be my selection for that at this stage. It's hard to know what else. I'm probably forgetting something like Bertinelli, who won the London Gold Cup, or Exoplanet in the same race. But yeah, Torito, he created such a good impression there.
Yeah, you certainly did. What about you, Jack? Anything else for the rest of the week that I've not mentioned?
Yeah, there's quite a few. There's two that I would like to mention now, so I can blow the trumpet if they do went and win. But Knockbrex is certainly, if there was a price now, I think that form with Gregory, he was lucky not to get a lot closer. At York, Andrea, he had a little bit of a rush of blood to the head. He's went off a bit too quick. He looked for all the winner. He'd go and win by five lengths or something, but it's just faded in the last furlong. That's a race that Johnston's liked to target before going for this race at Ascot. Baghdad won it, I believe, off the top of my head. So yeah, Knockbrex, I'm really, really looking forward to him. He'd be a strong fancy. Another thing to remember for the mile four races, you hear it every year, the trainers, oh, I really could have done with a lower draw. Does not matter at all on that mile four stocks. To come round the bend, if you get a double figure draw, do not worry at all. It's probably where I'd actually want to be drawn. So that's just a little thing to note. And in the Sandringham, Clonmacken, Johnny Murta won the race, obviously, with Create Belief a few years ago. This Clonmacken ran in the same race that she'd won on the way to coming here. I'd say he's already dusted off the top hat, ready for this race. her Irish mark's 90, I think. Obviously, that'll be a little bit higher as she comes over here and reassess. But yeah, she probably should have won the last day, and just the way the race panned out, she was bumped at a just as she was hitting top gear, and a lesser horse would have gone back. She's almost then went on to win a race. I think this is a stakes filly, and she's going to be masquerading as a handicapper for now. So she's certainly one to note. And just a quick note as well of Vauban. The news came out today that he's on track. Obviously, back in March, you and I, we spoke to Rich Ritchie's racing manager, and he mentioned Vauban for the Copper Horse. So everything's obviously on plan for that. There's no prices yet, but one price that is still available is the Melbourne Cup, which he also name-checked at the time. He said the horse is bomb-proof. He's a sound horse. So the Australian vets can't rule him out. So I'd say if you want to have a little fun bet, at 40-1 for the Melbourne Cup. He's obviously such a talented hurdler as well. If you can transform that, certainly off a mark of 101, he'll be very tough to beat in the Copper Horse. And who knows, he could go and win the Ebor and then go and win the Melbourne Cup. But those would be my others to note at the moment. And as you say, Tom, it'll be one we could address in future videos, or if anyone follows us on our Twitter accounts, that'll probably be the first place to catch it in any case.
Yeah, certainly will be. Vauban could have quite the season, couldn't he, if it all turns out right and rosy for him. Great stuff, Jack. Thanks very much indeed. I think we covered a lot there with Royal Ascot on the horizon. Hopefully giving you some nice pointers. And hopefully you've got some of those juices flowing as well, because that's what it's all about, isn't it, with a couple of weeks to go. Always nice to think about these races in a little bit more detail, because, of course, it is one of the great festivals and it is one of the greatest shows on turf. So very much looking forward to it. And, Jack, thanks very much for your time, as always. Last thing for me today is please be gamble aware, because gambling should be fun at the end of the day. And when the fun stops, please stop. Right, Jack, that's it, I think. Enjoyed your company as always. And hopefully we'll be back on soon with some more, hopefully, some winners.
Yeah, no, really enjoy it, Tom. No, hopefully a few winners. And counting down the minutes to Royal Ascot. It is very much the best week of the year.
It is. It is quite agree. Right. Please do remember to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Flat Out. And please follow us on social media as well. Until next time, it's goodbye.